Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. There was inspired and introspective book, Living Life with Blinders On. Dr. Julius Mosley II draws upon his own near-death experiences to offer an insightful glimpse into God's answer to what comes next. Living Life with Blinders On is a book to awaken people about life after death and remind them that physical death is not the end of it, but rather the beginning of your eternal existence. Dr. Mosley was born and raised in St. Petersburg, Florida, graduated from Florida A&M University, attended Howard University Dental School, where he obtained his dental degree. He was a dental officer at Travis Air Force Base in California during the Vietnam War, a practicing dentist for over 40 years. He's also the ministry head of evangelism and discipleship for over 20 years at his local fellowship. He learned how to receive eternal life and to share this very important message with others while giving God the glory for all he has done. Dr. Julius Mosley II, author of Living Life with Blinders On, Living Life as God Intended, our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Mosley, welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate everything here.
This is really an important book. Let's talk about your decision to write this book and what you felt was the greatest reason you were driven, compelled, led to write this book.
Well, Rick, as a child, I was always very inquisitive about where did I come from? You know, and where did people come from? And I would think very deeply about it. I get thoughts in my mind, and then all of a sudden, I'm back to square one, asking the same question. Many times, I would go down into the forest and the woods there and climb up in big magnolia trees and sing, and those same thoughts that went through my mind. And every time I put those thoughts together, I came back to square one. There was no answers beyond that. I attended churches. I had a religious background from family, and I had siblings, some young, older and some younger, and they all joined the church. And they asked me, when was I going to church? I said, I don't know why you joined the church. I said, but I can't just join the church. I said, what reason did you have? And they gave me all kinds of reasons. They want to sing in the choir. They want to usher. They want to be in Sunday school classes. I said, oh, that's great. I said, but it doesn't tell me anything. And that is what drove me to trying to understand things. I knew there was a God, but I felt that I was being punished by God because the others seemed to understand. And I couldn't get it, even though I was at the top of my class, I still couldn't get it because the preaching that I attended in churches, they were telling me to, you need to lean on him, you need to trust him, you need all kinds of things, and none of that made any sense. None of that made any sense. So as I grew older, and at the age of 16, I had a cousin that he asked me, he said, he called me Jew. He said, what is your problem? I said, I want to be saved. And he said, well, don't you believe? And whammo, that was the key. That was the key because that was scripture. When I went to the scripture, all that I saw all throughout the scripture, whosoever believeth shall be saved. The preaching of the cross is for those who perish foolishness, but for those who are saved, it's the power of God into salvation. You know, everywhere I read in the scripture, that same word came back, believe. So the question then becomes, believe what? And as I grew up, continued to go to school, that inquisitiveness kept with me. And I just want to find a way where I can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in simplicity where people can understand and receive the great gift that God has given us. So that's where it all started.
The end result is Dr. Mosley's book, Living Life with Blinders On. You will find the book available wherever books are sold, readersmagnet.com, Amazon, all of the usual places. Dr. Mosley's website is drjuliusmosley.com. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Mosley is M-O-S-L-E-Y. We'll give you that as we go throughout the program. Doctor, why do you conclude the majority of people of this world live lives without regard for God's authority?
Well, at the beginning of the book, I tried to reach people where they were and where they are. That is the same practice that the Lord Jesus did. He started where people were, just like the woman at the well. He started asking her about water. Nicodemus came to Christ at night, and he asked, how can a person be born again? He was an intelligent, religious person. He started right wherever they were. So the book began that by saying, telling us how it all began. It began in the garden, when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man. When he created man, he created him from the dust of the earth. And as he laid there, which was Adam, he did not move, he could not talk, he could not hear, nothing. But God breathed into him the breath of life, spirit, and man became a living soul. So when the breath of God came in contact with the body of man, he became a living soul, which means then that man is a triune person just like God. He has a body, soul, and spirit. But God gave Adam a command that there was two trees in the midst of the garden that he was placed. He could eat anything else except touching those two trees. One tree was the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge, and the other tree was the tree of life. His wife, Eve, was tricked by Satan to eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, where then man then began to understand what was right and what was wrong. And when Adam ate from the tree, he disobeyed God, and God cursed Adam. And in Adam was the genes of the entire human race. So everybody who has ever been born came through the genes of Adam. And they also inherited the curse from Adam. So we all had been cursed. And the curse was, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. But there's other information that goes with that. When God said eternal death, he meant the lake of fire. So all human beings, whether they are aware of it or not, unless you are born again, you receive a new nature, your march after death is to the lake of fire. And in the book, I try to share that with people to let them know to live in this world with your physical senses, the sense of hearing, seeing, taste, touch, would only get you into the lake of fire. You cannot please God in the body that you were born in because it's been cursed. And there is no cursed thing is going to heaven. And this is what I try to share in the book, giving scripture support for it, because a person is born again only by the word of God. You must hear the word of God, believe it, and act on it. That's what the book is about.
You mentioned with scriptures, the book is totally based in scripture. It is so well done, so well laid out. What a compelling message in the book by Dr. Mosley, Living Life with Blinders On, Living Life as God Intended. Is it possible to please God by living what we would consider good and respectful lives? Is that enough to please God?
Well, see, it's not the way that you live. It's the vessel that you live in. The vessel that you were born in is a cursed vessel. And no cursed thing can go to heaven. So it doesn't matter how nice a person you are, very nice citizen, send your kids to college, good husband, good wife. You do all of the right things, trying to treat people nice. But sin is sin. It's not what you do that's going to take you to hell. It's who you are that's going to take you to hell. It's the vessel. It's less just like a person out, as an example. You worked real hard out playing, and you got real sweaty and tired, and you came into my home, and you asked me for a cool drink of water. Well, I said, certainly. So I go in my kitchen, and I get a glass that we had eaten out the few minutes ago. It got grease marks on it, lipstick on the rims of it, little food stuck to the side, and go to the refrigerator and get a nice cold drink of water and pour it in it. And then I bring it back out there and I hand it to you. And you look at the glass and you said, oh, thank you, but no thank you. This glass is dirty. The water's clean, but the glass is dirty. That's the same thing with the human body. The body is unclean as it relates to God. So the body, anything that you do in the body is not pleasing to God.
Dr. Julius Mosley II, our guest on the program, the very important book we're talking about is Living Life with Blinders On. You'll find it at readersmagnet.com in the book section there. You'll find it, of course, Amazon, usual places. The doctor's website is Dr. Julius Mosley, MOSLEY.com. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, what does eternity mean as it relates to humanity?
Well, eternity, we need to understand it all came from Scripture. There's eternity past, there's eternity present, and there's eternity future. Well, this generation happened to live in eternity present. Eternity present is a point in time in God's calendar where He allows people to be saved, to go from one family into another family. See, that's the problem with religions. Religions think that they can relate to God. They do all kinds of things. They got beads and they got go through all kinds of motions. They sing and they pray. God wants a relationship. He wants a relationship. That's why He became a man, came to earth. The scriptures say, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in flesh, seen of angels, preached on in the world, and received up into heaven. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was really God in human flesh. And He told us that there is none righteous, no, not one. Not a single person, I don't care who you call, Adam, Abraham, David, me, you, He is no respecter of person. He said there is none righteous. And the only way to get right with Him is to accept what He did on the cross. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's in the scripture. And the scripture says, curse is a man that hangs on a tree. Well, Christ was crucified on the cross. And He paid the curse sin for us. And He gave us the opportunity to become sons and daughters of God. We were born as the sons and daughters of Satan. So unless you get out of Satan's family, which is the family of Adam, and get into the last Adam family, which is Christ, your eternal abode, that means forever. Well, how do you define forever? Forever is forever. It's forever. You will burn forever. And God gave us an illustration about letters and the rich man to let you know that when we die, the soul and spirit is released from the body. The body goes to dust. But the soul and spirit either go to be with God in heaven, to live forever, or it goes get ready for the second death. There is a second death, and that second death is the lake of fire. Every man must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what he's done while he was in the body. Kings, presidents, queens, it doesn't matter who you are, homeless, you are a sinner. And unless you're born again, your eternal destiny is a lake of fire.
Isn't God a loving God?
God is a loving God. This is why he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But the thing that we have blinders on is that we see the information, we ready to receive the information that God is loving. But what they did not understand, that God is just and righteous. And his just and righteousness cannot accept sin. So God cannot just love us into heaven. We must accept what he has performed to allow us to get into heaven. So we live with grace. He said, "By grace are we saved, not by love." Love, he came to die here for us. But we must accept that love, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior in order to be born again. Love would take you to hell.
With us,
grace would take you to heaven.
Didn't mean to cut you off there. That's a very important part of the conversation and the book by Dr. Mosley. The book is Living Life with Blinders On. Dr. Julius Mosley II, that's Mosley, is our guest on the program. His website is very simple, drjuliusmosley.com. Information and links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, why is the Holy Bible so important for man to read and to understand and to follow?
Well, the Holy Bible is God-breathed. The scripture said that the scripture was not of any private interpretation, but holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the word in the scriptures, God is the living, Christ is the living word. The Bible is the written word. The Holy Spirit, whom God sent Christ in here when he went back to heaven, was to bring to us and make real the words in the scripture. And if you read the scripture, you would notice it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing honor of soul and spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is how powerful the Word of God is. There is no other book on the face of this globe that will affect you like reading the Bible. It is God's written word. He said, "Before one period, a comma, and the Bible shall fail, heaven and earth shall fail first." So that's your only hope. That's my only hope, the Word of God. The Word became flesh. That's what the scripture tells us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was created that was created by the Word of God. That's in John, the first chapter, first verse. And in verse 14, it said, "And the Word became flesh." The Word became flesh. And the person that we know that became flesh, that walked around on the planet of the earth for 33 years, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is God in human flesh. And God said, "If you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." That's in the scripture. We need to know that. Otherwise, we are living a life with blinders on, and we're going to have the greatest shock, an eternal shock, if we ignore, if we live our life, completely live our life without ever reading what's in the pages of scripture Your eternal destiny is a lake of fire.
I'm sure so many people listening, people reading the book, wonder how many ways can a person get to heaven? How many ways are there? How can we get to heaven?
There's only one way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except by me. The Lord Jesus also said, there's one God and one man between God and man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to God unless you go through Jesus Christ, unless you accept the death and burial of Christ. You're not going to get to God. He said, there's none that seeketh after God. God must draw you to him, and he draws you to him by the word of God. He makes you feel uncomfortable. The Lord Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. For if I not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. But when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. He said, of sin, because you believe not on me. He said, of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged already. That's Satan. And he said, of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. So the righteousness of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a person. It's not a behavior. It's not the things that you do. There's nothing that you can do that would satisfy God. The only thing that will satisfy God is what he performed on the Christ, shedding his blood, because that's the only thing that pleased God, the sacrificial lamb. All throughout the Old Testament, there were sacrifices of animals. But when Christ came, John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Christ, turned and looked behind as he was baptizing people. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world. It was Christ that he looked around and saw him coming. And he said, this is your salvation. Christ is a resurrection. He's a resurrection. And he showed it in so many ways. When Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had died for 3 days, Christ waited three days before he came. And when he got there, he said that Lazarus was not dead. He said, he's asleep. And Christ went and called out in a loud voice. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus got up. He had been dead 3 days. His body had begun to stink. He came forth. And Christ said, give him something to eat. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can raise a person from the dead. Jesus did that. He was demonstrating that I am God in human flesh. You better believe it. For if you don't believe it and accept me as your Lord and Savior, you have no hope. No hope.
Very powerful. Yes. The book is Living Life with Blinders On by Dr. Julius Mosley II. What do you say to people that say, I was raised in church? Doesn't that count for much?
No. The reason for that is when Christ went back, when he died, and he went back to heaven, the Lord God said that he no longer dwelled in temples made by hand. Churches were made by men's hand. He said, now I dwell in bodies. He called the body of a believer the temple. God resides in the temple. So it's a body, soul, and spirit. That's the same temple that was in the Old Testament, the tabernacle. That was an outer court, inner court, and the holiest of holy room. God resided in the holiest of holy room. That was the temple. The human beings now are temple. So churches mean nothing. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we are not to go to church thinking that we're going to meet God there, because he told you already. He said, I no longer dwell in temples made by hand. So it does not serve you any purpose. The purpose of going to church is to learn how to become a disciple and learn how to share the word to other people that they too may hear the good news of the gospel and become saved. And then they turn around, you go to church to learn how to share Christ with people so that they can be saved. And I could not imagine any person who has been saved, born again, knowing exactly that any person who has not been born again is going to the lake of fire. And I've been rubbing shoulders with them, laughing, talking, going to concerts, walking into the supermarket and shopping center, and I'm walking around here, and I know that you're not going to heaven. I could not fathom the thought. That's why I put it in the book. Don't take anything for granted. It's real. People are dying. And when they die, I was an orderly in a hospital for a couple of years working my way through college. And I have witnessed many people that die. And when I'm standing at their bedside, I hear air coming from their mouth. That's the escaping of the soul and spirit. Everybody, without exception, has a soul and spirit that will separate from the body when you die. The body is buried in the grave, it turned back to dust. That's the curse. And the soul and spirit, which has all of the attributes of the body, it can feel, it can taste, it can see, it can remember. That soul and spirit will either go to be with God and live forever in peace and harmony. God said, I have not seen nor ear heard what he has in store for those who love him, those who have become believers. But the lake of fire was created for Satan and his demons. They don't have a choice. That's where they're going. But man has a choice. He can either elect to go to heaven or he can elect to go to hell. It's a choice.
Time is going by so quickly. The book is so important, and you can pick up your copy at Amazon, readersmagnet.com, in the product section there, the book section. Wherever books are sold, the name of the book is Living Life with Blinders On, Dr. Julius Mosley II. His website is drjuliusmosley.com. A few minutes left in the program. It's so important, Doctor. Why do you think it is that people in general really don't like to talk about death, dying, and what's beyond the grave? Why is that so difficult for us to face and to discuss?
Well, the problem is that we all are the same. If you thought that you were going to die the next moment, you don't want to talk about that. You know, people don't want to die. Even believers, the person who's been born again, they'll tell you up front, you know, the only world that we have ever experienced is this world. We know what's here. But what's beyond the grave, all we have is the evidence that's in the scripture. We have enjoyed this life. God has placed beautiful things here, bird, the sky, clouds, trees, food, things to do. We have enjoyed it immensely. So we are aware of what's in this world. But when we start talking about that there is another world, people don't want to talk about that. They don't want to, it makes them feel uncomfortable. They want to keep doing what they've been doing, and they want to keep enjoying this life because that's the only one they have ever known. But the danger with that is that you must consult the scripture for the scripture to tell you that there is a life beyond the grave. Whether you want to discuss it or not, there is a life beyond the grave. So if you were wise, you would entertain that discussion. Now, people, Christian believers, I won't say Christian because there are a lot of Christians that are not believers, but believers know for certain. I've had friends. In fact, I just had a friend who was a minister at my church. Long illness, he just passed. Just before he passed, his wife asked him, "How do you feel?" He said, "I want to go to be with the Lord." He said, "I had a glimpse. I want to go be with the Lord." He did not want to stay here any longer. His wife was shocked. She didn't want to stay here. My wife passed last year. She didn't want to stay here. God had shown her something that we cannot see, but we better believe it. There is a life beyond the grave. And the two accidents that I had when I almost died as a child, I almost drowned in a swimming pool, and I was in a car wreck that was going 7 miles an hour that was being driven by my high school counselor, and we came to a curb. It had been raining a little bit, and there was some cut grass on the curb in the freeway, and we went off the freeway straight into a tree. And as I looked out, we were coming directly at the big tree, and something said to me, "What would you do if you had an accident?" I told him I would duck behind the seat. It said yes. The next moment I know, the whole car, the front end of the car, was up the tree with the back end of the car on the ground. And on both occasions, I saw my life flash in rapid fashion from where I were to where I been, my life. And every human being would tell you that have never died. Those who had near-death experiences, they can tell you that their life flashed between their eyes in rapid fashion. It's real. It's real.
Boy, that is so powerful. The book is Living Life with Blinders On. The author is Dr. Julius Mosley II. Time, I wanted to get one more question in here because it's so important. You've talked about born again. It's one thing to be religious, you talk about in the book, but it's another thing to be born again. What do you mean by being born again?
Well, our first birth was a physical birth. And our father of the physical birth was Adam. Our mother, father, gave us a physical birth. But the physical birth is a birth that will not get you into heaven, because everything with the physical birth, your body, soul, and spirit has been cursed. It has no relationship with God. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit. So in order to get into the kingdom of God, we must appropriate what Christ has done on the cross, believe it, and accept him as Lord and Savior. The scripture said, "If thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The moment that you believe, and God knows that you have appropriated properly the word of God, he will give you a free gift of the Holy Spirit. He would make your dead spirit come alive. That's the new birth, a new spirit, a renewed spirit, a spirit of God. The spirit that we have, that we were born with, is dead. It cannot relate to God. So this is how we end up with a lot of religions. We think that the spirit can only worship, but the dead spirit would only worship dead things. So we create religions. We got Catholics, we got Protestant, we got Jehovah Witness, we got Christian, you name them, all kinds of religions. God does not want a religion, he wants a relationship. He wants to be your father. A relationship. Religion is for Satan. Relationship is for God. He wants you to be his child.
Boy, a very important conversation and an appropriate way to end it with that message from Dr. Mosley. The book is Living Life with Blinders On. The author, our guest, is Dr. Julius Mosley II. You'll find the book at readersmagnet.com in the book section. You'll find it at Amazon, usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Of course, Dr. Mosley's website, you'll find it there as well. It's drjuliusmosley.com, M-O-S-L-E-Y. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Doctor, it's been a pleasure, a very important conversation on the program today. Thank you for joining us, sharing the wisdom, sharing all that you put into the book, Living Life with Blinders On, helping so many people, people using it as individuals, people using it in church groups for discussions. It's making an impact worldwide. The book is Living Life with Blinders On. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thank you so much. I'd like to get the message to the ears of as many people that we hear. Christ said it, he that has ears, let him hear. Thank you so much.
It has been our pleasure. The book Living Life with Blinders On, the author, Dr. Julius Mosley II. His website, drjuliusmosley.com. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.